right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fuckocrats, what the fuck nicks? What's happening? I'm Mark Maron. This is my podcast. Thanks for listening. Welcome. Today on the show, I talked to Ally Makovsky. She's a comic, very funny comic. She's opened for me on the road many times. She got her start in comedy at age 7, doing a prank phone call. Yeah, she did prank phone calls on Kiss FM. That was the beginning of her show business career. But look, before I start doing everything, I just want to say how thrilled I am that Vice President Kamala Harris showed up for fucking work at that debate. She was perfect. And thank God. Now, look, if she doesn't win, the only reason is people are sexist garbage. That's the only reason. Because if you can watch that, or frankly, any day on your phone in the news, if you can watch any of that and still think that that fucking monster is capable of running anything, or you're willing to forgive him for whatever flaws he has and think like, well, that guy's the guy, you're a bad person. You're not a good person. I don't know what you've told yourself or what things you believe in. I think, you know, what's happened that a lot of people don't mention is that at some point in time, you know the old saying, I'll believe it when I see it. Under the radar, that has now shifted to I'll see it when I believe it. And that's a problem, I think, culturally and globally. But man, what a relief. I was on set and I couldn't watch it. So I'm getting updates, you know, from Brendan, who is the only guy I trust. He's definitely the only guy I trust with political insight and many other things. But look, man, it was as good as it could have gone. And you got to see who she is. You got to see who he is, but you do every day. So, you know, look, we've got not only a fair fight, not only a good fight, but it's a very obvious choice. But thank fucking God. And I don't even believe that stuff, really, sometimes, maybe ghosts. Anyway, I'll be at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles next Monday, September 16th. Then I'm at the Elysian here in L.A. on Wednesday, September 18th. I'll be in Tucson, Arizona at the Rialto Theater on Friday, September 20th. Then I'm in Phoenix at the Orpheum Theater on Saturday, September 21st. And then back here in L.A., I'm at Largo on Thursday, October 3rd. Phoenix, Orpheum Theater on Saturday, September 21st. Come be part of it, because it'll be interesting. So look, I'm having app issues. I just had some sort of realization the other day about apps, and I don't have a lot of them. I don't use a lot of them. But I start to realize that the app is probably the way, for the most part, obviously, it's the way that these visceral handheld technologies literally take place. They take over parts of our brain, or they accelerate or expand or engage the parts of our brain that are already a little panicky. I know it's all dopamine connected. I know that you're going to be, you know, going through the thing, you're scrolling or whatever, but I just had this moment. I had to put a thing on my house. If you have a house, a lot of insurance companies are getting, they won't give you the coverage that you want for your house if you don't have this thing that you put on your water main, on your main water line. It's this this chunk of technology, this chunk of equipment that is connected to an app that will detect leaks in your house. And if you need to shut it down from wherever you are, your water, you can. I guess this is from the insurance company's point of view. This is the way that they can get a handle or get ahead of water damage. I understand that. Water damage is horrible. Water and fire, though, you give me a choice of the two, I'll take water. And now fires are here. That's the other thing. Yeah, we thought we got out from under it. California, but now it looks like the fires are here. Fire time is here. Good luck. Godspeed. But I got this water, this chunk of water technology on my water main, and I've got an app on my phone that tells me what it's thinking. And I've had it for about a week, and last night I get a little, I get an email from my flow thing, my flow regulator, that it detected a small leak. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, what is happening now? And this is something I didn't have to deal with. And now I can look at the app and it detects a small leak. But it could be a toilet running. It could be whatever. So now I got to, you know, alert the person staying at my house. You know, look, you maybe check the water. Like, it's just another thing. I'm already worried. But now I have, you know, concrete reason. Because I've got a thing with a switch that's saying this is happening. And I guess that's good. But it's like the Ring camera. Mine is set too sensitively because it wasn't picking up coyotes occasionally. And at the very least, I'd like to enjoy seeing a coyote in front of my house. And now I got it too sensitive. So now every time a car drives by, it picks that up and I get that ding, that little ring. But I just live with that and I get numb to it. But now I've got a water app. Yeah. And now that, you know, and then I have that Whoop app that, you know, I thought we were going to advertise, but we didn't. And now I can't get that off of my wrist. So I don't even know how I slept. Or whether I, you know, got enough sleep, or what my heart rate is, or what my HRV is, or what my recovery is, all those things that I don't understand, but I've become reliant on it to know whether or not, you know, I can function on any given day. Whether or not, whatever the thing says, I'm going to live the life I live, but it does plant a seed of like, well, I guess I'm not completely up to speed here. Where before, you'd just be like, well, I'm a little tired, but, you know, I'll get through it. Now it's like, well, now I know. So I'm just saying, whatever information we're getting, it's just expanding our anxiety. And it's kind of broadening the potential for panic and anxiety and concern. And again, most of that is just hooked up to some sort of dopamine or cortisol reaction. All of it ultimately leads to you becoming more reliant on this extension of your brain. I'll find out if there's a toilet running, and then I'll be able to go, well, this app's not so bad, but did I need it? Maybe I did. I don't know. I'll let you know, but it's on my mind, and that's what they want. Reliant. You want to be reliant on that thing that says, uh-oh, on your fucking phone. Oh, my God. Does it end? Yes, it does. You know, I've been watching, I'll be honest with you, in lieu of getting anything productive done in my trailer, I've been watching The American Office, which I have never watched. I don't know how I missed everything, but I think looking at it honestly, I really don't watch TV comedies much. Like, I missed The Office, I missed Seinfeld, I didn't watch Community. A lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, when some of these things started, was before streaming, and you know, I was out at night doing comedy, and I just never made a time or I didn't have the drive to sit and watch TV because I was out at night. That's the unusual life I live. So I'd never really watched The American Office, and I've been watching it from the first episode. And what's odd is I learned, look, I knew it was funny, and there's a great ensemble cast, and there's a lot of good comedy, and it's great writing, and Steve Carell is great, but I can't take it. I can't take it. As funny as that character is, if comedy is based on a sort of cringe element, that is cringe without sort of that character has no, you know, self-awareness, I don't know. There's something about it that just gets relentlessly annoying to me. And watching them in a binge way where you're just watching one or the other, as funny as it is, I find it almost unwatchable after a certain point because there's no relief from that character's lack of self-awareness. It's funny, but after, you know, a few episodes, I'm like, oh my God, it's just, I can't take it. Maybe that's an unusual way to look at that show. Again, I'm not taking anything away from the brilliance of it, just not for me. And then I realize it's the same with Seinfeld. I just can't take his character. And as funny as it might be, it's just like, I can't do it because it doesn't float in the world of reality enough or something. I don't know. Again, not diminishing the brilliance of some of these shows. There's plenty of heart in The Office. I get it. But it's just not for me, I guess. No crime in that, right? Can't wait to get home. My cats are, oh my God. Doesn't matter. Some of you have kids. Don't know how you do it. I just, everybody's okay. It's going to be okay. Look, Ally McCoskey has a new YouTube show called Ally's Interview Show, and she's out on tour starting in Maryland on October 3rd. You can go to AllyMcCoskey.com to see where she'll be throughout the fall. But right now she's here, and this is me talking to my friend and very funny comic, Ally McCoskey. I've never vaped. I don't want to get involved with it because I think it looks dumb.
You'd love it.
Would I?
Oh yeah, it's good stuff.
I probably would.
I think so.
But I remember there was a period there where people were getting very ornate vaping equipment. Like they had, like, you know, almost like when you were buying bongs and shit.
Yeah.
Are they still around? Like the fancy vape?
Well, I wouldn't say that any
like
of them are.
What's yours look like? Just like the regular?
These are, I like these because they're like skinny and they're easy to.
They look like
the
things you used to plug into your computer.
Yeah, totally. Like a little USB.
Yeah, USB drive.
Yeah. But the new ones, like all these new brands of vapes,
yeah.
It's crazy. You can like play games on them. It'll like.
For the kids.
There's like light up things on it. It tells you
for
like.
Clubs. When oh, you're at the
yeah.
Club.
Yeah.
You accessorize with your
it's
vapor.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But like, but you can't live without it?
No.
Oh.
I try. I did once.
Oh.
There was one time where I gave it up for like 2 months.
I don't know, man. It's just like I've been on and off it so long, and I know because like now I got the coffee. I did that amoeba what's in your bag thing today.
Uh-huh.
And there's a Dunkin' across, so now I'm jammed.
Oh, you were in Hollywood?
I was in Hollywood.
Nice.
And then I went to the dentist because I have a dubious tooth.
What's that?
Fuck, man. I don't know. I'm getting old, goddammit, and it's like fucking with my head all of a sudden.
What's the deal with this tooth?
My gums have always been really kind of fucked up but because of my bite, but this tooth was just, I was a little sensitive and uh-huh. I felt it up here. And, you know, it's okay. I just wanted to get a check before I go back to Canada for 3 weeks. And it's probably going to need a root canal.
I mean, might be good to save it up and wait until you're in Canada, get some free dental.
Yeah, but I don't know. Can I?
I think so.
But not if I don't live there.
No, I think you can go. Like what would happen if you were just on a vacation and you broke
well,
your
I think
foot
you just
in Canada?
Pay out of pocket.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not. It's not just sort of like, oh, there's a place there.
But people go to Mexico to get like
that's
root
different.
Canals.
Yeah, but that's not free. It's
yeah.
just cheaper.
It's way. Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm
sure you have good insurance. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, insurance rarely covers the things that you actually. Need to do for it, it's probably looked at as a cosmetic surgery or they don't cover all of it. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just like, I'm just all I can think is like it's happening.
Yeah.
Whatever's
the decay.
Yeah.
Starts with the teeth.
Well, that goes on forever.
Yeah.
So what's going on? Like, I think we waited the right amount of time since you opened for me and I learned your life story in the car for me to forget it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think I don't remember much about her, even though we talked for hours. Maybe it's time to do this.
Refresh your memory. There's a couple dark spots.
Well, no, I know your dad smokes cigars.
Yeah, that's about it.
I know you're from down here somewhere.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
All right, good. We're done, I guess.
Okay, great episode. Now I can check it off the list. I did Marin.
How's your... you've done a lot of things. But then I started thinking about, like, the first time I saw you. And I thought you were... I didn't know what to make of you. I just... I thought, like... You were actually, like... I was. At
can
this,
I just say...
What?
I wish I had a story of, like, well, I met you.
Do you?
No. But it's fun to do that.
Well, I think you always kind of kept aloof.
Well, in what
at the
way?
Store. I don't know. The first time I saw you, you were getting out of Joe Rogan's car.
Was I?
Yes.
Oh, we were coming from the improv.
You remember that one time you were in this car?
Yeah, because I've never, that was like our first time carpooling before, so it was very exciting.
And it was in that vet? Was it the vet? Or was it like a Camaro?
I think it was just like a Tesla.
Oh, I don't know. But like, I was at the store and, you know, whatever my feelings about Rogan are, what they are. Uh-huh. But then I see you climb out. I'm like, what? Who the fuck is this person?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did she come from?
Yeah, a lot of opinions can be formed just from that one.
Why is she getting out of Joe Rogan's car?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think anything dubious.
Sure.
But I'm just sort of like, why is that lady aligned with that guy?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because sometimes I'll be doing certain shows, like whether it's headlining or just like locally, and depending on the audience or the neighborhood, the host will be like, oh, do you want me to say Rogan? And I like look out at the audience and I'm like, not tonight. I think we're good. You can say something else.
Well, I know it's a very odd thing because, like, I mean, you open for me. And, you know, my audience is what it is, a very polite, grown-up
bunch. That's my credit when I'm on the east side.
Is it
Yeah,
Marin?
I go Marin. You can say Marin for this one.
But when you go into, like, what? Where do you use the Rogan one?
If I'm doing, you know those Don't Tell shows?
Yeah.
They're like these kind of, like, secret lineup, random venue shows.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're at, like, CrossFit gyms for some reason.
What?
So if I do one of those shows and it's a lot of like jacked dudes in the audience, I'm like, I need them on my side from the jump. So I'm like, you can use Rogan.
But like, how many times did you do Rogan?
Well, I went on tour with him. I did a couple dates opening for him. I would say maybe like 6 times.
At the Beefy Guy rallies?
At the...
the 90% male audience shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great because they bring their girlfriends and their girlfriends show up and they're like, someone.
Oh, good.
Someone for us.
A lady talking.
Yeah.
I don't get to do that.
It was nice. It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah. But you did a lot of them or just a few?
I did a few of those. And then back when he was living out here, I would do a lot of his like local shows at like the Ice House store, things like that.
You were just in that crew?
Yeah, because when I was like a year into comedy, I started doing Kill Tony.
Right.
And so I was like a regular on that podcast.
How does that work? You go up there and there's a panel of guys who just, you know, shit on your jokes?
Well...
because I remember doing it once early on when it was like in the belly room, but I never really understood the concept. I'm not sure I do now, but clearly it's very popular.
Yes. It's like a live open mic and podcast.
Yes.
Where anyone can sign up. You put your name in a bucket.
Yeah.
You sign up. If you get
even pulled, for Madison Square Garden?
Even for Madison Square Garden, I think, yeah.
So just like local New York comics, but
I think for their bigger shows, like they'll have certain people who are definitely going on.
Yeah.
But then they'll still do a few random polls.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just sign up, and if you get your name pulled out of the bucket during the show, Tony Hinchcliffe, Brian Redband, and then two comedian guests will watch you do a minute of comedy.
A minute.
Yeah, just 1 minute. And so when I was starting out, I was...
And then comment on it.
And comment on it, yeah. So it can either go really well and it's really fun, or it can just be horrible and devastating.
Yeah, yeah.
Which also, I think because their audience is so big, it's like even getting shit on is like people's dreams come true.
Yeah, right.
Like, it still does well for them by doing poorly.
It does?
Yeah, because you, like, garner this weird audience who, like, likes
And they come see you when you suck?
I don't know if they come see you.
But you're one of the people that was on Kill Tony.
But you've been on.
Yeah.
And now you're known.
But you did that when it was at the store.
Yeah, when it was up in the belly room.
Right.
So I put my name in because I was doing open mics at the time and like local small shows.
Yeah.
So I would sign up for it and I got pulled out of the bucket a few times and did fairly well.
For you though, you're a joke person. So like a minute, that's like what, 4 jokes?
Yeah, especially early on in stand up. Like all my jokes were just like 2 sentences.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's good for that.
So it was helpful. And it was good just for... because I became like a regular on that show, so every week I would perform a new minute, which was cool because
in the belly room,
because all the guests were changing, so it was cool to be able to, like, if you were on the panel, to be able to say like, Mark Maron saw a minute of my material,
right?
And so it was helpful, just kind of, it felt like school in a way. And I had like dropped out of school. So it's like.
Did you do roast battle too?
I did it a few times.
I don't understand that either. Like for me, like going to the store and I guess this is maybe old guy shit. Where like there's part of me that's like, what the fuck is this? It's not the way you do it. Like, you know what I mean? It's not, yeah. It's a gimmick. It's not. And now I'm starting to realize like, all right, old guy. So what?
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's like an extracurricular. It's like if that's your only thing, then sure, that's kind of like.
But it's stage time of a sort.
Yeah.
And it's roast like, battle is just what you get up in front of. It, but that's not like a panel of comics. You just.
Well, sometimes I think there would be like a panel of comics judging. So usually it's always like Jeff Ross was there. Then it would be like whoever was in
town.
And
you just shit on, you just like play the dozens with somebody?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, you just kind of go back and forth.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's like a good comedy challenge of like writing a joke differently.
I'm not good at the roast jokes.
Yeah. I had fun with it, but it definitely like after a while I was like, I don't want to focus my energy on this.
But you feel like doing those things like but did you do Rogan's podcast?
Yeah, I did it twice.
In Austin?
Both times were in Austin.
And you sat there for 3 hours?
Yeah. I'm good for about one, yeah. I'd say.
I know. I've never really watched it. So what happens? So you do, like, he interviews, you do bits, and then for 2 hours you just listen to these other guys talk, kind of, or chime in, or is it like morning radio?
No, I don't even know what to, I remember the first time I did it.
Do you smoke a lot of weed when you do it?
I don't smoke any weed. I'm sober.
Okay.
I
forgot. Well, now I know again.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so no, I don't smoke. I just vape. But I remember, like, going into it being like, okay, it's 3 hours. I, like, had a big breakfast. I was like, I got to fuel up for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was, like, calling my friend, like, oh, my gosh, do you have any, like, any advice or whatever? And my friend goes, if he starts playing videos of, like, animals being shot, you know.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. It's like after an hour of the interview, he's like, hey, Jamie, pull up that video of the deer.
Oh, so they do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Some stuff like that, yeah.
It's kind of weird that I've never really watched it, and I don't know if that's a principal thing, or I don't listen to podcasts, and I don't really, you know, it's not what I go to at all.
Yeah.
I've seen clips and stuff, but I don't know what it would be like to be on there. I did it here, but he just wanted to hear Kanison's stories.
Yeah.
And I don't remember it being that long. Maybe it was.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
I feel like you're a good talker.
No, I can talk.
Yeah, you can yap.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's just like, I don't, what it really comes down to with the way the world is set up now in terms of like how one garners an audience is when it comes right down to it, whatever's going to go on between me and Joe is, it's going to be tense.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've known the guy since he started.
Yeah.
And like, I do have, and I've shared, you know, not particularly fawning opinions of him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the exchange is not going to be great. It'll be, you know, but there's nothing to gain for me.
Because,
you know, his people already don't like me for whatever reason. And I'm sure I could do it. But, like, what do I need to do it for?
Sure.
You know what I mean? I've got this nice, cultivated group of grown-up people that enjoy coming to see me. And there's plenty of them.
I'm sure there is a Venn diagram in which your audience and Joe Rogan's audience.
Yeah, there's like nine guys.
Crossover.
There's nine guys that, you know, aren't honest with their friends who like me as well. It's all in my head. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I could imagine you doing one of his shows and doing very well.
You know, I wonder. I wonder, but I just don't, he's got people on there where I'm like, I don't even want to sit in the same chair as that fucker.
Yeah.
Not comics.
Yeah.
Just people.
Yeah.
That's like you're going to try to make out, you know, Tucker Carlson a person. I don't need that.
Yeah.
You're going to make Alex Jones a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather them just be monsters.
Yeah.
I know you can't comment, and I understand. It's a difficult position to be put in, and I've dealt with it before. I understand that, like, you know, on another level, you know, he's very good for comedy. In terms of getting visibility.
Totally. Yeah, I think it's very complex because it's like, sure, there's plenty of things that I like disagree with him on.
Sure.
But I also am like, I think what he uses his comedy for is like so helpful to young comics.
Right.
And yeah, just like putting comedy on the map and
yeah,
a
I understand
totally
that. I mean, I used to feel that when I did Opie and Anthony. Yeah. You know, I'd go in there and I'd be like, oh my God, is there going to be like some woman blowing a guy for the second half of the show? What? Is there going to be like some sort of, you know, strange racist clusterfuck happening that I have to kind of sit out and just like not comment on?
Yeah.
And I guess there's a similarity. It's not as extreme as that, but
yes.
But you are sitting there.
Yeah.
So it gets to the point where you're like, no, I'm not, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so easily bendable.
Yeah.
That
you
put me around that and I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Get the tits out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not quite like that, but you do, there is part of me that's sort of like, all right, well, I guess I'll just hang in. So where'd you grow up again? Like San Diego?
No, I grew up in Long Beach.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, I grew up in Long Beach, but I went to school in Orange County, so it's weird because I'm like, I would love to be able to claim Long Beach harder, but I feel like because I went to school in Orange County, I feel like that is really kind of what.
But what does Long Beach mean? Like, well, how is it defined? I mean, I know it was sort of like a rapper place, right?
Parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Northside Long Beach.
Yeah. It was like big hip hop.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz, Sublime.
Yeah, that's a kind of an interesting mix.
Me.
Cameron Diaz comes from there?
Yeah.
She still lives down there?
Her and Snoop Dogg went to school together.
Isn't that great?
I know. That's
Snoop Dogg's become this like kind of like lovable. Kind of.
He just won't stop.
This lovable pot clown.
Yeah.
It's like, what would make this more fun?
And
see if Snoop will do it.
And he will. He will.
Apparently, he made the Olympics bearable.
Yeah.
I didn't watch any of it.
Well, and it's so funny because he's like pretty old now, I think.
Yeah. I think
but
he's
he looks
got like great grandkids or something.
Yeah.
He's got to be like, I don't know how old he is. He's a good actor, too.
You think so?
Sometimes.
What has he acted in?
He was amazing in, what's that one where he plays? He's in a wheelchair. Oh, it's Training Day.
Mm.
He's got like a bit part in Training Day where they're busting drug dealers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's in a wheelchair. And he was good in Baby Boy. Fucking great.
I don't know what that is.
That's a masterpiece. John Singleton movie.
Okay.
It's great. Taraji Henson's in it. But yeah, Snoop plays the boyfriend that was in prison. And he's great.
Interesting.
You got to watch that movie.
Okay.
I used to plug it all the time.
I will.
I think it's a great movie.
Did you see Sing Sing?
Yeah. I had the real guy on here.
You had him on? When's that coming out?
It's out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was great.
I'm going to have to listen.
Did you like that movie?
I loved it.
All right. So Long Beach. So now, like, what is it? Are you Jew?
Half
Jew. Right.
Half, yeah.
I remember.
Dad's side.
The cigar-smoking Jew.
Yeah.
So, like, what was going on down there? What's he do down there besides smoke
cigars? Both of my parents were longshoremen. So they worked at the docks in Long Beach and San Pedro.
Your mom was a longshoreman?
Yeah, my mom got my dad into the longshoring game.
What does that entail?
I have no idea. There's like 100 different jobs you can have as a longshoreman.
So longshoreman is like a union designation?
Super union.
So, like, the Longshoremen Union
is... ILWU.
Right, but that's, that covers a lot of different dock jobs.
Probably. I'm not... It's such a weird job.
Yeah, just think, like, on the waterfront or something.
Yeah, totally, it is on the waterfront. Yeah, all the
unloading
cargo
those
that
ships.
Comes in. Yeah.
So that was their gig?
Yeah.
Their whole life?
My mom, no, neither of them their whole life, but pretty much most of my life. Yeah, I think they... had done it for probably 20 years.
Oh, and yeah. They're both retired?
My mom retired. My dad's like in the process of retiring.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How many cigars is he smoking?
He's cut back. Oh. He's maybe on like one a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he was like bad for a while. He would do like 5 cigars a day.
Just all day long?
Yeah, not like the little mini cigars, like a full... cigar.
Full, like, 45-minute smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Does he chomp on him?
Yeah.
Is he a chomper?
Oh, he's a chomper. And because he works down at the docks and he drives the, you know, trucks around,
yeah.
People hate... They're like, was Larry in this car before me? Because it'll just reek of cigars. Because it's an outdoor job, so he can just kind of kick
chomp
back,
on him
smoke
all day.
Cigars. Yeah.
So he's a character.
He's such a character, yeah.
What, like, I remember you telling me stuff about him. Like, what, was he into comedy?
I think so. Yeah, he loves Rodney Dangerfield.
Right.
And he'll do impressions of Rodney all the time.
Yeah.
He's very silly.
How did his family get out here? Do you have grandparents?
Yeah, my grandpa's dead. My grandma's waiting eagerly to die, but she's
around.
But
you grew up with them in your life?
Yeah. Yeah, my grandpa, he died when I was pretty young, like around 7 or 8. But they...
These are your dad's parents?
Yeah, these are my dad's parents.
Are they like Jews from the East Coast?
Yeah. Yeah, my grandpa, I think my grandpa's from out here.
Yeah.
My grandma grew up in Brooklyn. She was saying like when she was growing up, there would literally be sheep in Brooklyn. Like it was a lot of like kind of farms.
Wow, yeah.
And her family was like super poor. And then she moved out to like Culver City.
Uh-huh.
And
Everything turned around. She met your grandfather.
Yeah. And they had like a furniture business or something, or a liquor store business.
Classic.
Yeah.
And
they
then
got eloped.
They eloped. Were they brought up Jewy?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very Jewy.
So you had that component.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, definitely. But my dad in particular, very like laid back. He's like casual Jew.
Sure.
And I remember when I was going through the phase of my life where I'm like looking for meaning.
When does that stop? You're not in it anymore?
No, I still have that part of me that wants community and whatever. Yeah. I love that. I do. There's something so fun about it.
No, I just like every few years, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then there's a clock on it now. It's a fucking nightmare. So do you have, like, does your dad have siblings?
Yeah, he has 3 other siblings.
Yeah. Are they around?
They're all around.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. But they're like much more religious. And I remember I wanted to be more Jewish.
When you were how old?
I would say this was like middle school. Everyone started having like bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs.
Oh, your cousins.
Yeah. Or yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do that.
That seems fun.
And my dad's like, it's expensive, which felt kind of like a bar mitzvah, you know, it's very Jewish. He's like, too expensive. He's like, just have a party.
We can
here.
Do one. Yeah. But not with many people.
Yeah. And we had a backyard party for my 13th.
You did?
Yeah.
But they didn't belong to a synagogue?
No. And then I remember one year for Hanukkah, I was like, Dad, can I please light the menorah? Like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, just blow out the candles when you're done. Just that type, you know.
It sounds like he just was over it.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens when you come from Jewiness. Uh-huh. You're just sort of like, ugh.
But my grandma, very Jewish. My mom, she's not Jewish, and so we would do Christmas at our house.
Yeah.
My grandma would not come over if we had a Christmas tree up.
Really?
Yeah, she would not come to visit us.
Wow, this sounds like an entire section of Alex Edelman's show.
Yeah.
You need to capitalize on this half Jew thing.
I know. I'll do a one woman.
Yeah, do a one woman about Christmas trees.
I gotta get
Birbiglia
to back me up.
Oh yeah, be real earnest. Wear one of those wraparound TED Talk mics.
I would love to
scatter a few random things on the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So your mom never converted. Why should she? Your dad didn't give a shit.
I want to say no, but I feel like she went, like she took classes, but I don't think she officially converted.
She took How to Be Married to a Jew classes?
Yeah, it didn't work out well. They did get divorced, but she
What
tried.
Do I do with this Jew courses at the Long Branch Community Center, Long Beach Community Center?
Complain.
Yeah. Try to tolerate it.
Yeah.
And don't take them too seriously.
Yeah.
When they get divorced?
I got divorced when I was about 5, I think.
Oh, so you barely knew him as a couple.
I think that's the best time. If there's any parents listening, if you're going to get divorced, do it when the kid's young.
So there's not this weirdness?
Yeah, because you don't really know a difference. It's like they're two separate people who I love, but imagining them together, I'm like, it's so strange.
Did they both live down there, though?
Yeah, they were both in Long Beach.
So how far of a drive?
For what?
To go see one or the other, between them.
Not for like 10 minutes.
Oh. And they're friends?
They've gone through their periods, but yeah. They're friendly. Yeah. Now, if we do like family get-togethers, everyone's there.
You have siblings?
Fine. Two older sisters. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Makovskis?
Yeah, well, now they're married, so no.
Older sisters?
Yeah.
You were the youngest one?
I'm the baby.
Did they end up like with normal lives?
So normal. Huh. The most normal. Very normal. They have babies. They got married. Like everything's just like very by the book.
Did they do the Jewish thing or no?
My oldest sister, yeah, she converted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Married a Jewish guy?
She just had her baby's bris.
Bris?
Yeah.
Come over, cut it off.
Little Moishi.
Yeah, that's his name?
That was one of the options.
Oh.
Yeah.
What'd they go with?
They went with Oliver.
Oh. Much different.
Yeah, very different vibe.
So she's down there too? They're all here?
No, she's in Arizona and then my other sister's in the Bay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Like Scottsdale?
Yeah.
Yeah. Scottsdale uh-huh. Jews?
Yeah, your joke about Josh.
Josh.
That's her husband's name. It cracks me up.
Josh, Barry, Seth.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm talking, who's the guy who made that joke? Greg Proops. He says, it was at the Montreal Comedy Festival. He's like, I was just talking to three guys named Josh.
That's so funny.
It's show business.
That's also Greg Proops from me and my dad would always, because I'm always like, was my dad like a big comedy guy? And like growing up, all my memories are like watching Whose Line Is It Anyway yeah. with him, Last Comic Standing.
So he liked it, getting the laughs?
Yeah.
So what happened? So how? What's the age difference? So your sister is split?
My sisters are 7 and 5 years older than me.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, so I was kind of a whoopsie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mom says I'm like a gift from God, but...
So she left all the, well, I mean, they got divorced when those kids were older.
Yeah. So my sister is like, know them as a unit.
Right. What'd they report on that?
I think it was like all good. It was fairly nice.
We never know.
Yeah.
What's going on.
Totally.
So you were kind of a latchkey kid for.
Oh yeah.
From what? 14 on? 13 on?
No, I would say. Pretty early on. Yeah. I mean, my sisters kind of raised me in some ways because they were like the grown-ups, you know.
What'd they turn you on to?
Well, that's the kind of... I always hear these stories about the cool older sibling.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways, like, they did... I think my humor as a young girl was much more mature.
Yeah.
Like, I was 7 years old, like, making kind of inappropriate jokes or, like, making the adults laugh.
Right.
So I think because of me wanting to fit in with them, I knew how to, like, talk like a grown-up.
Right.
But I was too young. My voice was like, hey!
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what helped. But they were, like, very, you know, they listened to pop music. Like, yeah. I didn't get turned on anything cool or start smoking cigs.
No cigs?
No. Mm-mm. But they
weed.
Did. I did that more on my own with my friends, like, once I got into middle school.
So where does it, like, start to go south for you?
Pretty early on.
When do you define yourself against the grain?
Well, this is like a really weird fact that I've told you, but I'll refresh your memory.
An alley fact?
Yeah. When I was 7, I was getting ready for school with my sisters. We're listening to the radio, Kiss FM with Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to call in. I want to like hear my voice on the radio.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I hear other people calling in. I want to call in.
And you're how old? 7?
I'm 7.
Yeah.
So I go to my oldest sister and I'm like, what's the number? You know the number. What's the number? Give it to me. And she's like, I'm not giving you the number. If you get on the radio, my friends are going to hear you. You're going to embarrass me.
Oh, really?
I'm not giving you the number.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, fine. But now she tries calling in. I've given her this idea. So she calls in. She doesn't get through.
Yeah.
She's in high school. So my dad has to take her.
Yeah.
So my dad and her are on their way to school. Me and my other sister are at home. I go into her room. I hit redial.
Yeah.
I get in immediately.
Yeah.
But I have no game plan. I haven't thought this through.
Right.
And so I'm like screaming to my sister. I'm like, what do I say? What do I do?
Yeah.
She's like, ask for Britney Spears tickets. So I'm like, okay. So I'm talking to Ryan Seacrest. I'm like, hi, Ryan.
Yeah.
He's like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 7.
Yeah.
I was just calling to see if I can get Britney Spears tickets. And he's like, okay, like, can you sing a Britney Spears song for us?
Yeah.
I'm like, of course. So I start singing Toxic by Britney Spears. I'm 7 years old. I'm singing like, the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. And And I feel like I sing a good amount of the song. No one's stopping me, so I'm just going for it.
Yeah.
And at the end, he goes, we don't have Britney Spears tickets, but we have American Idol tickets. And I was like, I'll only go if they're VIP.
Yeah, you said that?
Yeah. And he's like, who is this child demanding VIP?
Yeah.
Like, that's not enough for her. She's seven.
Yeah.
And so we keep going with the conversation. He's like, where's your parents? I'm like, I don't know. It's 7 a.m. He's like, well, what's happening? So at the end of the call, he's like, stay on the line. Our producer wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
So I stay on the line. The producer gives me his phone number, and he's like, "Call, have your dad call us when he gets back. We have an idea." So I'm like, okay. So my dad gets back. I'm like, hey, Dad, just talk to Ryan Seacrest. Here's the number of the producer.
He will talk to you.
And so my dad calls, and they're like, we want to do this, like, prank calling thing. We want to see if it'll work. Because I think they did it with, like, Jimmy Kimmel and those people on K-Rock back in the day.
Right.
There was a bit like that. So they were like,
with
we want to try this. Maybe not a kid, but a young person.
Right.
So they're like, we want to see if this will work. So my dad drives me up to Hollywood, and we go to the studio. It's right off Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah.
And we record, like, 5 episodes.
What do you do?
We pre-record 5 episodes. One,
you just call people?
One, I called the DMV.
Yeah.
To see if my sister can get a new driver's license photo, because she looks really ugly in hers.
And you're clearly a kid.
I'm so clearly a kid.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm just calling to see if my sister, she looks like an ugly duckling.
Yeah.
And so we do calls like that. I think I called, like, Amoeba, and I was just singing to them. I'm like, do you know what this song is? And I would sing whatever the popular song was.
Right. Did people answer you? Like, what do you know? Like, what did the DMV say?
Well, the DMV, we weren't able to get through to them.
You left
and so we ended up using my sister to pretend, because my sister was up there with me.
Okay.
The whole family came. You know, it's our big Hollywood break. No, the oldest sister.
Okay.
And so she came up with me and she pretended to be the DMV person.
Yeah.
Just because we're like, we got to get this one.
Wow, you fudged it.
We faked it.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, a lot of those calls were done by actors because there was a law about prank calling.
Oh, so they're
all we had to eventually stop. Like, I think in the last year of me doing it.
How long did you do it?
I did it for about 3 years.
Really?
3.5 years. Yeah. I did it from when I was 7 to, I think, 11.
And you just, wait, how many did you do? Like 100?
I mean, there would be 4 a week, and then on Friday, people would pick their favorite to be played.
So you're getting paid?
Not at first, and then they're like, oh, this is illegal. We have to start paying you.
So did you get into AFTRA because of it?
I actually, maybe I did. It was a really strange experience because it truly happened by, like, pure coincidence.
Yeah.
And so, like, I remember, you know, then they got me an agent or, like, a manager or something, and they would send me on auditions, and I had no idea what I was doing. Like I got brought into Disney to do a Hannah Montana audition, and they're like, okay, like, can you do a monologue? And I was just like, what's that? And they're like, you can go. I was like, okay.
Oh, that's Miley's show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of that show?
Once it came out, oh, yeah. I was like, I auditioned for that. I bombed it, but
I have no sense of her other than her pop starness.
Oh.
I just got a record of hers.
You would love her.
No, I love her.
Yeah.
I mean, I love her, everything about her, but
she's,
I don't know
so
her music
cool.
really, but I know she can sing her ass off.
Have you heard her do, like, the covers of, like,
Yeah, I've seen her do that stuff on reels and whatnot. And I believe my buddy is managing her now. I'd love to talk to her, but it just hasn't happened. But I was doing that Amoeba What's in Your Bag thing, and I got her last record.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, she's a, I think she's, like, powerful person.
She's the real deal.
Totally.
Yeah.
So you didn't get that role, and you went out on other stuff?
Yeah, I never got anything.
But that's where you got the show business bug?
Well, that's, like, no, because I really enjoyed doing it. It was so fun. And I guess it just, it wasn't that I got the show business bug. It was more that, like, my idea for what a job could be changed.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, you can just do, like, silly stuff and make money. And
these,
like,
people just talking on microphones, making money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of what the shift was for me.
Oh, yeah?
And then I went through the period of being a has-been, you know, in middle school. Once that gig ended.
Did they know you at school?
Oh, yeah. I was a big deal at school.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I had fake friends. It's like all the stuff. It's just so funny picturing
little
like
show business.
An 11-year-old kid in middle school being like, oh, did you know that Nick only dated you because you were on the radio? I'm like...
Did you have an entourage?
I had a bit of an entourage. Yeah, I had some friends. They were using me for Shark Tale's movie premiere tickets. And...
Did they go to the studio with you?
Not that I can remember.
So
but...
your dad would have to drive you in every time?
Well, so eventually.
Or they send a car?
So, yeah. So my dad used to drive me in, and then he gave it to my sister. He was like, you can drive her in. And then eventually they would have someone from... Kiss FM, bring me in. So they'd have their like wrapped car with like Ryan Seacrest's face all over it. Come pick me up from school. Everyone would know because I'd always leave one day a week. We'd make it, we'd pre-record calls. So they'd pick me up on like a Tuesday. I'd leave like half an hour before school ended. And people would be like, Allie's going to Hollywood.
You were a star.
Yeah.
Oh, and you had
I did a parade
on.
Or two. I did a local parade.
Did you?
Uh-huh. The Long Beach Christmas parade.
Now, like, you think if Ryan saw you now, he'd be like, hey.
Well, the funny thing is, he was never in the studio when I recorded. It was always like a producer.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I would see him a few times. There would be like a yearly like Clear Channel group brunch in Malibu.
Yeah.
That I'd go to. So I'd see him there. I'd see him at like the concerts like Wingo Tango or Jingle Balls.
Yeah.
And so I'd see him there. But recently I did a Zoom like call in with him. And so we got to like
For what?
I think to like promote a show or something.
Of yours.
Yeah,
so like it wasn't that he didn't know you.
No.
But you had to refresh his memory?
No. He remembered.
Sure.
It was like, you know, where's Lil Allie now?
Yeah, that type of thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just strange.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And like, what happened in American Idol? Did you go?
Oh, yeah, I went.
Which year? Who was on that one?
I don't remember. My neighbor, because my parents were divorced and I was a latchkey kid, like a neighbor took me, like an older lady.
Oh, yeah.
She took me and she was like, you have to wear black because if you wear bright colors, they won't seat you in front. And she was so wrong. We got put in the back. I was like, this is the worst day of my life. I blocked it all out. I have no memory from that because I was so disappointed.
So this is like, you're not even in junior high yet?
No. I guess my last year of doing it was my first year of middle school.
Yeah. And then, like, what happens? So you know it's another job, but how do you proceed with your life after that?
I guess luckily it was, like, low enough stakes where not too much change. I think it was more devastating for my dad because my dad would use all the perks. Yeah. I remember one time he picked me up from school in a rental car because his car was in the shop.
Yeah.
He picks me up in a drop-top convertible. He was like, they were going to give me a Honda, but I asked them if they listened to Kiss FM, and turns out they're a big fan of yours, so I got the convertible.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Was there more of that? Because, like, I remember with radio, they had all kinds of deals going on.
Yeah.
Free promotions, food, all that shit.
I would go to, like, a lot of kids' events, like the Shark Tales movie premiere. That was a big one.
Got special treatment?
I got some VIP. Yeah, I introduced the movie. I got to bring on No Doubt, but more so Gwen Stefani at one of the concerts.
Oh, that's cool.
I got to meet a lot of cool people. Ryan Seacrest was trying to, like, do a show at the studio, like a TV show, like interviewing a musician. And then, so he wanted to bring me on. So there's, like... It never came out, and I hope that there's footage of it somewhere, because there's an interview of me with, I want to say Twista.
Yeah.
The guy who raps super, super fast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Twista?
I don't know.
And I was like, can you do Sally Sells Seashells by the Seashore? You know, just like dumb little kid stuff like that. But it never
came out. Was there a live audience?
Not for that. Those were like in the green room before they went out to perform.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
You had a full career in show business.
Yeah, very strange. Really fun, though.
Yeah, but like, and then you just go on through high school and not doing anything?
Yeah, and then I'm just your regular middle school, high school girl.
Like, you seem pretty well-adjusted.
Yeah, but I think that's because I was on the radio.
Yeah?
Like, it wasn't a big deal.
I mean, parents, it didn't seem like there was, like, insanity.
No, I mean, definitely my... So, after, once Lil Allie was over... I aged out of it at 11.
They called you?
Yeah, Lil Allie.
It's like
and they made my birthday April Fool's.
That's so lucky that you didn't become a full-on child actor.
I know.
It would have been a nightmare for you now.
Part of me, I used to be like, what could have been? Oh. I could have been something.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, I'm very grateful that things worked out the way they did.
Yeah, it doesn't, most of the time, it's not great for the the kid actors.
No.
Yeah, you had just the right amount of fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, local.
It was perfect. Local fame is great.
Yeah. Like, you're still, like, anonymous.
And, yeah, especially because it's, like, no one knew what I looked like. I remember at the time, like, there would be Yahoo Answers. Like, people would ask, like, who's this little girl? I bet it's some 30-year-old in Ohio who's a voice artist. Or,
You know, oh, really? Yeah.
People had all these
conspiracies. You're already trolling the comment boards. You're already looking. What are they saying about me?
Yeah.
God, you got that very early on experience of that.
Yeah.
So when do you start, like, deciding to do the comedy thing?
So then I get into high school and I'm on YouTube. I'm watching a lot of YouTube and I start seeing all these clips from the Laugh Factory.
Oh.
And I'm watching them and I'm like, man, that looks fun.
Yeah.
I live pretty close by.
Like who? Do you remember who was sort of like, oh, that's that I can do that?
I don't want to say.
What?
It's really embarrassing.
Oh, really? It's embarrassing, like, as a high school student?
Here. I mean, Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
His perfect audience, a high school girl.
Yeah.
Becomes a huge fan of his.
Right.
Because I think, too, it makes sense. Like, my sister, my oldest sister, when she would pick me up from school... I remember I was in fifth grade, and she picked me up, and she had the Dane Cook album,
right.
The CD. So we'd listen to it on the way home, and it was hysterical. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then I go to the Laugh Factory, and there he is performing.
What, after high school, you mean?
No, like when I'm in high school, I'm like driving to the Laugh Factory.
With friends?
No, I would go alone.
In high school?
Yeah.
Because you get those Groupon tickets or whatever they are? What are they? How do you get tickets?
I bought tickets.
Really?
Well, I had Child Star money.
Oh,
so I'd buy my Laugh Factory tickets.
Personal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's what, 18 plus or
It's
all
18
ages?
Plus, so I use my oldest sister's expired ID.
Yeah.
I like bit it where it said expired to make it look like a dog. So if people asked, like, oh, I can't see, I'd be like, oh, my dog chewed it.
And that worked.
And it worked.
So you're going there when you're, what, 15?
16. Yeah.
And you go to the Laugh Factory and you see I guess he's not even older yet. It's still, he's just sort of over the hump of being Dane Cook, but
totally.
He's there.
Yeah. And it still is exciting. Like, it's still exciting to see him.
Sure.
And so I would go, I'd see him a lot. I'd go at least once a week.
From 15 on?
About 16, yeah.
And you've seen all the Laugh Factory acts.
And I'd
a lot
go,
of Tony Rock.
Yeah. No, I feel like at the time it was like, it was D'Elia, it was Adam Ray, it was Dom Herrera.
Uh-huh.
I remember I would go so much that one night Dom Herrera, during his set, he looks at me and he goes, are you stalking me? He goes, I've seen you here.
Yeah.
And I was...
So that was your place, never the store.
I didn't even know about the store. I had no...
Oh, because you just saw it on YouTube.
I would just see the Laugh Factory on YouTube. I didn't know about the Comedy Store until my sister I think it might have been my 18th birthday.
Yeah.
She took me on a TMZ tour.
Oh, okay.
So the TMZ tour is going down Sunset Boulevard, and she goes... Or maybe that was my... I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's driving down Sunset, and it's like, here's the Comedy Store. And I'm like, what is this place? It just sells, like, whoopee cushions or something.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't...
You didn't think, like, what's that haunted old building?
No, I truly was like, a comedy store?
Oh, right.
A store for comedy?
Sure. Yeah. Novelty.
But my sister was like, no, this is like a really cool, it's like a famous club.
Yeah.
And so from that point on.
You were obsessed with what's going on in there.
Yeah. And so one night, me, my mom, and my sisters, my mom's also a big comedy fan.
Yeah.
Which is great, but also kind of annoying for me now at this point.
So she was, when you would watch comedy with her too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And
I know I got hung up on your dad, but you get along good with your mom too, right?
Yeah, it's complicated, but
sure.
I love her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still complicated?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that about?
You know, just alcoholism.
Oh, she's got that?
She's got a bit of that.
Oh, so you grew up with that.
Yeah.
But you're not your dad.
Well, my parents, they met at a 12-step convention in the desert.
No.
Yes, they met at like one of those like, I think it was like.
What was it called? Something paw? Ricky?
Icky paw?
Icky paw.
Yeah. They met at one of those.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
where their love story begins.
So they were both sober.
They were both sober. And before they had me, they had about 13-ish years.
Of sobriety.
Of sobriety.
Long term.
Yeah. And then by the time they had me, they're like, things are different. You know, we have three kids.
Yeah.
We're married.
Let's get back on it.
Let's try it out.
We can handle it.
Yeah. So my dad started first. He'd go to the neighbor's house, drink in the garage.
Yeah.
I think he was a little bit sloppy at first, but then kind of got a hold on it.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom was soon after him and just never really could get a hold on it.
So your dad's still able to drink?
He's able to. I've only seen him drunk once, but it's like he smokes 5 cigars a day. So it's like, if it's not drinking, there's something else he's...
Well, at least cigars aren't going to make you, like, you know, destroy your life.
Totally.
But your mom never kind of got it under control.
No, she, you know, she has moments and waves of, like, having sobriety, but...
Wow, they were so dug into it. It's so scary to me.
I know. It freaks me out because I've been sober now almost 9 years.
So when did you start drinking?
I started drinking... I mean, really drinking, like in high school, like at the end of high school.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so you're starting to get into comedy, but not doing it yet, and you're boozing it up?
I'd done one open mic.
In high school?
Yeah.
Where?
At the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I have a video of it somewhere on my computer.
Is that good or bad?
It's
a reminder.
It's cute.
Yeah.
For my first time doing comedy, it's very cute.
Yeah.
It's a very cute video. I'm so nervous. My hand's shaking. There's an Italian guy, a tourist, filming me on my phone, just cracking up. He thinks I'm hysterical.
You had him hold the phone to do it.
Oh, yeah. And it was crazy because when I was at the Laugh Factory, it was me, my sisters, and my mom were just there to see a show.
Yeah.
Dane Cook is there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got it. He's my first comedian that I, like, really knew and loved.
Yeah.
So I run up to him after he goes on, and I'm like, I'm a huge fan. I'm only 17 years old. I really want to do comedy. I don't know how. I don't know what to write about. I'm not even old enough to be here. What do I do?
Yeah.
And he turns to Jamie. Jamie's there, and he's like, Jamie, this girl's 17. Can she do comedy? And he's like, how did she get in? She's not supposed to be here. But he was like, they have an open mic here. It's on Tuesdays.
Jamie said that or Dane?
No, Dane said that. And he was like, just go home, write like 3 to 5 minutes of whatever you think is funny, and then go to the open mic. So that night I go home, I'm fired up. I'm like so invigorated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm writing the set. I talk about how my dad's lazy. He won't kill the bugs in my room.
Oh, yeah.
He's got Judge Judy on in the TV.
Yeah.
Just, it's bad comedy. But for my first time, I think it's pretty charming.
But you're thinking about what's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I talk about, I had planned an introduction for when I get on stage.
Sure.
It was like, oh, I'm so out of shape. Even the stair, just going up the stairs, you know, exhausted or something.
That was
going
to be your opener?
And then it had like pause for laughter. I was like, that's going to crush. Me being out of shape from getting up the stairs.
A kid.
A kid, yeah.
It's winded.
Yeah.
So how'd that go over?
Fine. Yeah, it's fine. I'll show you the video sometime.
So, but how's the drinking unfold? Like, how bad did that get?
I feel like it got pretty bad, but I think, too, I'm sure I could have gone longer and probably gotten away with it for a little bit longer.
So you start drinking in high school, so when you start doing comedy, you're boozing?
No, I don't drink when I'm doing comedy, but I would drink, like, after shows or after open mics.
Yeah. So when does that start, right? When you graduate?
What, comedy?
Yeah.
Well,
outside of the open mic you did in high school.
So I go to college because I have money saved in a Coogan account.
Radio
for,
money?
For my radio money, there half of it was saved for college.
Was that enough?
Which was so ambitious of my parents.
It's pretty smart, and they didn't spend
it. It's smart. Well, my dad did. He bought outdoor patio furniture. My sisters told me we were having family dinner. They're like, did you know that dad spent your money on outdoor patio furniture?
How much was there after 3 years? Pretty good amount?
Yeah, in total, it was a really good amount.
No
but
shit.
But the problem is that half of it I received upon, you know, the age of 16. So I'm like going to Coachella every year, buying the ugliest outfits.
Yeah.
So I blew through that money real quick.
Where'd you go to college? You went to college in Orange County.
I went to this school in San Diego called San Marcos.
Yeah.
It's a pretty bad school.
Like I what, stopped... a little liberal arts school? Or what
no,
was it?
I don't even know what it was. It was just a UC. It was a commuter school.
You just chose it because it was nearby?
I got in. My grades were horrible. I didn't do well in school.
Yeah.
They said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll go.
So how long that lasts?
So I lived there for a year, but I went to school for like maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
And so
you
that's where I was.
On campus or just
yeah,
in
I lived in a dorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a commuter campus if they had dorms.
They had dorms. A lot of people would drive in from Temecula.
Okay.
A lot of people like in Temecula would go there.
So you lived in the dorms. You barely went to school.
I didn't go to school.
Who's in it up?
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Drinking a lot. Really drinking a lot. And then I came back home. Well, the day after I graduated, I went to Israel. I went on Birthright.
Where did that come from?
I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to go back to school. I'm young.
Did your grandma, like, what made you think you should do that, being, you know, barely Jewish?
I think I had heard about Birthright, and I was like, I want to go. Free trip.
Yeah, how was that?
Great. It was amazing. I extended my trip. I stayed for a month. It was my first time, like, being away as an adult.
Were you, like, on a kibbutz or something?
One night we did, like, a kibbutz.
Yeah.
And then...
Who'd you go with?
The Birthright group.
Oh, all right.
And I was boozing it up after the trip because I extended for a month. I was loving it. While I was there, I was like, I have to stay longer.
Right.
And when you're on Birthright, they bring a couple soldiers who are your age to join the trip with you just for fun.
Yeah.
And one of the girls who was a soldier, she's like, you can stay with me if you're extending your trip.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
Right.
I get to her house after my trip.
Yeah.
And there's guards, there's security cameras. I'm like, I'm in the ghetto. Why did I agree to this? Like, this is so scary.
Yeah.
And it turns out there's all this security and cameras because her dad and mom are like these big Israeli socialites. Like, the mom is like a TV personality. The dad is the minister of energy or something.
Wow.
And turns out the dad, I think, got in trouble for some sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
But I stayed with her. I stayed with some random soldier that I had met when I was blacked out at a bar. I stayed in a hostel. It was all very dangerous now. Looking back at it, I'm like, I was drinking so much.
So you had no real sense of what was really going on in Israel.
No, not at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I came home, I was like, I'm going to join the army. I'm going to join the Israeli army. I want to go back. I want to live there.
Uh-huh.
I'll be a medic. I'll do something noble.
Yeah.
I'll help people.
And how come you didn't follow through on that one?
Well, so I'm getting all the paperwork. I'm like, okay, I'll be there for 3 years. By the time I'm out, I'll be 21. I can do comedy.
And you'll be tough.
I can get, I'll have stories, I'll have structure, I'll have routine.
Sure.
I'll be able to get into all the clubs and bars. And so I get home, I'm looking at all the info. Okay, 1 year I just learn how to speak Hebrew and I do training. And then the other 2 years I go out there.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
So I'm getting all the paperwork together. I'm telling my dad's side of the family. Everyone's like, you know,
great.
Good for you. I tell my mom, we're at dinner. And she's like, so what are your plans? Like, are you going to go to college? What's going on with you? And I'm like, well, I'm glad you asked because I've actually come up with the perfect plan.
I'm going
to Israel. I'm going to join the Israeli army. And she steps outside and she just starts crying. She's smoking a cigarette. I walk out there. She's like, why would you do that? She's like, okay, why don't you just drop out of school, live with me full time and do comedy? And I was like, okay, that sounds like a pretty good deal. So that's what I did. No more Israel. I was just living with my mom. Started going to open mics every night.
And you're drinking with your mom?
No.
No?
I like to keep that separate.
Yeah. So you're doing open mics. So this is like, you're what, 20?
At this point, I'm 19.
Man. And what happens to make you decide to get sober?
The last major thing was crashing my car in a blackout on the freeway in Sylmar.
In the desert?
Uh-huh. And
no, it was like a one car accident?
Yeah, I hit the center divider. Luckily, like, no one was hurt. And I think I probably like ended up falling asleep and was just driving so slow that like any cars near me were just moving right along. But yeah, I crashed my car in the center divider. Highway patrol came. for whatever reason, they didn't arrest me.
Yeah. And you drove the car home?
No, I tried driving it away or driving it off the freeway, but it was totaled.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't drive.
So who came and got you?
My sisters. I was calling everyone. I was calling my mom, my dad, my sisters.
No one wanted to go to Selmar?
No one answered. It was like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
My sisters lived on the west side, and they ended up picking me up in Selmar. And when I got in their car, they were like, "It is a miracle. You reek of alcohol."
Yeah.
And
where were you?
I was leaving an open mic called Echoes Under Sunset.
In Selmar?
No, it was in Echo Park. And
how the
fuck
did you get out to Selmar?
At this point, I was living with my aunt, and she lives in like Westlake Village or Thousand Oaks.
Yeah.
And so I think I was either going to her place or I was going to Santa Monica and somehow ended up in Selmar.
I picture Selmar's out in the middle of nowhere.
It is. And when the highway patrol came, they're like, "Where are you going?" And I was like, "Santa Monica?" And they're like, "You're in Selmar."
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, there's no reason to go out there.
Yeah. Unless you're going to Six Flags.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't at 3 a.m.
So you were just wasted and driving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they said you
I don't even remember getting in the car. I think that night I had nowhere to go. I was leaving this bar for a friend's birthday after the open mic. Yeah. And I tried going. The guy who ran the open mic lived in the venue. So I knocked. He answers the door. He's like, "Allie, why are you here? It's 3 a.m. And I was like, "I don't know."
That wait, Echoes Over. That was that one like right
under the
bridge?
Under the overpass, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I was thinking maybe he could let me in. I could crash there.
Yeah.
And he's just like confused why I'm there at 3 a.m. And I was like, "Okay, no problem." And I think I just got in my car planning to sleep and I ended up
driving.
Sweeping. Yeah.
Wild. That's scary, man.
Yeah.
Blackouts and you're in, it's like a classic blackout story.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to be in Selmar and it's far.
So far. I mean, I'm just like so grateful that no one was hurt.
Oh my God.
That would be horrible.
What, So then
my sisters are like, "Allie, you have to take a break. Like, you can't be drinking." And I'm like, what do you even mean I have to take, like, that was one time I drank and drove. Like, why do I need to stop drinking? I'll just stop driving.
Yeah.
It seems like the obvious solution.
That's a great alcoholic solution.
Totally. So now everyone's checking on me all the time. My mom, my dad, my sisters. Are you okay?
You knew you had it in the family.
I knew it was in the family. And so the moment that I remember I needed to stop was I just couldn't take a break. It was just like, I don't get how that's the obvious solution
taking
a break.
Right.
And just the fact that I could not stop.
Yeah.
And I had started going to meetings because I'm like, if I go to meetings, then my family will get off my case.
Had you ever been with any of your other family?
I went with my mom when I was younger.
Yeah.
They'd have a little playroom for the kids.
Yeah. Okay.
And my mom, you know, she's kind of on and off drinking. So I'm like, well, meetings don't really work. Like, sobriety's kind of...
Right.
You know, maybe it works for a little
bit. So you're going to meetings in Hollywood and shit?
So I'm going to meetings in Hollywood for like 3 months.
Moore Park?
No, I was going to the Comedy Store.
Oh.
I couldn't escape.
Yeah.
And, I was going for 3 months. I'd take a notebook. I'd write down everything that made me different from whoever was speaking. I'm like, well, they said they got sober at 40. I'm 19, so.
You're really trying to build a case?
Oh, yeah. I'm taking notes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm writing down why I'm not an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And I'm not drinking for about 3 months. I'm just staying sober.
And you're doing open mics?
And I'm doing open mics. And I started drinking again. And... yeah, when I was still drinking before the car accident, I had some money left from the child star days. So
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go to London. I'm going to do comedy in London.
Yeah.
Because I don't need a car there. Oh, I guess this must have been after the car accident then.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need a car. They have a train.
Yeah.
I can do comedy. I can drink.
Yeah.
Because I'll be old enough to drink there.
Yeah, and you would be in cars.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
So I'm getting ready to go. I bought a one-way ticket. I was like, I'm living there. Everyone's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'll be a bartender.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm with my friend Alex, and she's helping me pack. And she's like, so what did you say you're going to do over there? And I was like, well, I'll be like a bartender or something, and then I'll get my visa. She's like, for being a bartender, you'll get a visa? I'm like, yeah, you have to get the job first, and then you get the visa. She's like, no, that's not how it works. So it ended up being a 3-week trip.
Yeah.
So it ends up being a 3-week trip. I blow through all my money. Now yeah. I'm coming
home. Are you doing comedy?
I do 2 shows while I'm there.
Yeah.
One's like maybe an open mic.
But this is just sort of like, this is your bottom.
This is my bottom. Oh, yeah, because I'm at a hostel. I'm hooking up with weird Australians. There's always Australians at a hostel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm waking up blacked out. It's bad. It's bad.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, and then I go to Paris, and I'm hooking up with another Australian, and I'm like, how did I even? I'm drinking Jaeger bombs in Paris. I'm like, that's not what you do here. You drink wine. You eat a baguette.
But you're not even getting out and around.
No. I'm staying at the bar at the hostel with these strange people.
Oh, you're a real alcoholic.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know, when in Rome, when I get home, I'm going to do it differently. I don't want to be an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I'll drink normally when I get home. I get home, I don't do that. I'm just back where I left off. And so I was like, okay, I have to.
That's such a classic geographical.
Oh, totally.
You're like, I can go live the life I want.
Well, and then it was so funny because at that point, like, once I get sober this time around and I start hearing things, I'm like, oh, I have so much in common. I was really trying to find things that didn't fit.
You finally did it.
Yeah.
You joined the club.
I joined the club.
And you just stayed sober since then?
Yeah, it is weird.
Did you go to meetings? Do you still go?
Yeah, not as much as I used to, but yeah. I'm trying to do more like Al-Anon type of meetings.
Oh, God, yeah.
I found a good one if you want to go.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
I mean, I'm sober so long, but you know, the other issues persist.
Oh, yeah.
And Al-Anon's helping you out?
Yeah,
because you don't want to drink anymore.
No, and that's kind of the nice thing is like, okay, I've been able to manage being sober, and I like it, but now there's other things that I could definitely work
fix
on.
Fix the other shit?
Yeah.
And then you just stuck with comedy, kept doing open mics. Were you working at the store?
Yeah, I worked at the store briefly.
On the door?
At the door. Yeah, I think I was only there for maybe like 6 or 8 months or something.
Yeah.
Because then it got to a point where, luckily because of people like Rogan and stuff, I was able to like start going on the road. And so then it was like, well,
to do 10, 15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm either going to be a shitty coworker or I just won't work here anymore.
Right.
So then I quit.
And you did Comedy Pro.
And I did Comedy Pro.
How long have you been doing it now?
10 years.
Wild, right?
I know.
And you're headlining now.
And I'm headlining.
How's that? How's the set? Strong?
It's good. I like it. I want to get rid of it, though. Because it's like the...
It's all of it?
My hours. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's like a lot of stuff that I've...
Moved through.
But I'm kind of like, I want to just get rid of this and start over.
Are you going to do a special? Dump it?
I don't know. I kind of want to. I just like, I want to get rid of it. I want to start from scratch.
Does Rogan have a production entity now?
I don't know. I didn't move to Austin, so I'm a little bit out of the loop on all things.
I know
Rogan.
They're shooting specials there, but I mean, I don't know if he's, like, it seems like you could probably shoot it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got it all set up there. But I know Fitzsimmons shot his there, but I think they did it legit.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing you haven't done it like a YouTube thing.
I know. That's kind of the way things are going. I might.
Do you have a YouTube presence?
I'm building it. I had a podcast a while ago that I stopped doing because I just was over it.
Hmm.
And then
Don't you do one now?
Well, now I'm doing this...
Interview show?
Yeah, Ali's interview show.
Yeah. How's that going?
I put out 1 episode, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about it. Like, it's more fun for me because I'm like, it's sillier. It's not really a podcast.
Is your boyfriend producing it?
Yeah.
And is that the place?
No.
He's got a studio now, right?
No, we're recording. He does have a studio, but we're recording the interview show at Star Day Vintage in Los Feliz.
Yeah.
And so it's all shot there.
People come in. Would you interview a musician or something?
I had on Dylan Francis. He's like a music producer and DJ.
Yeah.
And then my next interview is going to come out soon, and that's with St. Vincent.
Oh, I just saw her in Vancouver.
I heard.
Yeah,
Isn't she the best?
Totally.
She's so good.
I'm so glad. I didn't know if I had her contact info.
Yeah.
Because I'd interviewed her, and I'd seen her around a bit. And I was like, I'm here. Can I come? She got back immediately. It was great. Great show.
Yeah, she's so talented. I got to open for her on the road.
Oh, that must have been an okay audience.
It was all right, yeah.
Because that's not a great gig, opening for music.
No, and I was like, I'm going to say yes to this because even if it's bad, it'll be so interesting.
To be with her.
To just be opening for a musician.
Right.
Like even
but
if
she's kind of special.
But she is pretty special.
And her audience is kind of special. They're not like just, you know, yahoos.
No, they were all like nice and smart and they let me talk about my butthole and they were pretty cool with that.
That's the big test. That's like the litmus test of nice and smart.
Yeah.
Is if you can free the butthole.
Yeah. It was so fun.
So what are you on the road a lot now?
Yeah, I got some shows coming up. Just on the road.
Maybe I could. You want to go out with me again?
Yeah, that was so fun. Your audiences are great.
Yeah,
I had so much fun on the road with you.
It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird because like I really have to. it's odd because I still do it the old way where you rent a car and you're just driving for hours. Like, who can be in the car for it? That's the audition.
Yeah.
Like I know I know your comedy, but like, is it going to be okay in the car?
I know. I was also nervous.
You were? It was good.
I was like, I think we'll get along pretty well. I feel like I'm pretty perceptive.
Yeah, I'm not hard to get along with. Yeah, I just don't want to be uncomfortable.
And we got a good trial. We got a trial run in when we were in San Francisco.
That's right.
We did a test.
When I drove you back.
Yeah.
That was such a good idea. But then you were like, yeah, but the plane left anyways.
Yeah.
We had good Indian food, though.
It was so good.
Like, I want to go back to that place.
I know, just that spot off the freeway.
Yeah, that was fun. Like,
it was
in
delicious.
Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Well, I found out, like I told you, right?
Yeah.
It's because the truckers are all Pakistani.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to go back. That's right. We stayed at the same hotel. What the hell was I doing there? Oh, I did the Castro.
Yeah.
With, what's his name? Taylor? Is it? No.
Oh, Taylor Williamson.
Taylor Williamson. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you know the dates because I got to go on tour next year.
Yeah. Wait, when do you finish filming? When does that wrap up?
That wraps up in the middle of September. And then I got a month off and then I'm shooting a movie here in October, November for 5 weeks.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So that's happening. But then like I got to shoot an HBO special next spring. So I got to go. I've moved all these dates.
You're shooting a special.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
In April, another HBO special.
Wow.
But now I don't even know how my hour is. It was pretty good when we were working together.
Well, as soon as you're done filming, you're going to be nonstop doing comedy, and you're going to be so excited to be back. Like, you'll be so fired up to be performing.
Yeah.
It's going to bring, like, a whole new energy.
Yeah, I'm trying to work it out.
Your last special was so good.
Thanks.
It was, you know, when something you watch or you listen to something good and you remember where you were?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like certain podcast episodes, like I remember where I was driving when I listened to it.
Yeah.
And with your special, I was doing some college gig in like, it was like Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I remember being at the hotel
at
watching
HBO.
It. Yeah, it was so good.
Oh, thank you. Well, now I got to meet that standard.
It'll be great.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
You too.
There you go. That's a good story. Allie Makovsky. Go to alliemakovsky.com to see her tour dates and check out Allie's interview show on YouTube. Hang out for a minute, folks. Look, people, you asked and I answered, and now we've got another Ask Mark Anything episode posted for Full Marin subscribers. Sign up now so you can get my answers to questions like this one. I'm a diehard Dave fan, and your Dave Matthews bit is the funniest, truest shit in the world. Most Dave fans I've shown it to feel the same way. Has Dave's camp ever reached out to have him on? Would you even talk to him? I don't remember. Brendan would know. I believe that maybe it was. I don't feel like it. Was it an option? Maybe it was. But I imagine not unlike with Trey Anastasio, like my aversion to having him on is that I really don't know the music. And, you know, and I had a moment with Dave Matthews at the Willie Nelson birthday celebration at the Hollywood Bowl where I'm like, oh, my God, you know, this guy's clearly the real deal. It was just never my thing. And yeah, and I busted on Dave Matthews and I busted on his fans. And I'm glad to hear that at least it was on the money. But I imagine I would have him on, but it would take a lot to get up to speed. And I'm always worried, like, I don't want to be disrespectful. You know, like, there, you know,
there's times where I've interviewed people whose work that I don't necessarily love, but I can wrap my brain around it. And sometimes it's a better interview than when a fan does an interview. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to commit to it, but I would probably rethink it and be more open to having Dave on at this point. To subscribe to The Full Marin, go to the link in the episode description or go to WTFpod.com and click on WTF Plus. And a reminder before we go, this podcast is hosted by Acast. Here's some classic guitar riffing. Boomer lives. Monkey, LaFonda, Cat Angel is fucking everywhere, man. They're fucking everywhere, man.